Welcome to Dishing Heat with Wolfie and Big Shot Song. I'm your host, Nathan Wolf.
And I'm your co-host, Max Song.
It's currently New Year's Day, January 1st, at 9:13 p.m., and today we'll be discussing our awards predictions for the current NBA season. We'll be looking at every award, including the new Clutch Award, and looking at our NBA first team picks. With that out of the way, who is your MVP pick?
I gotta go KD, man. I might be a bit of a Nets bandwagon, but KD is fifth in plus-minus. He's averaging nearly 37-6. His defense is crazy this year, 1.5 blocks per game. And if you just watch the Nets, they're so much different with him on the floor. They're currently second in the East on an 11-game win streak. They had the best record in the NBA over the past 2 months. I think KD's the MVP as of right now. And my runner-up has to be Jokic, even though I don't think Jokic is going to win it because of voter fatigue. He's second in plus-minus just to Tatum, but I think Jokic isn't even on the same level as Tatum. They're the first in the West, I think, currently. He's averaging 26-11-10. And he's having one of the most efficient seasons ever. So if the MVP didn't have anything to do with voter fatigue, he would be my MVP. But because of voter fatigue, he's second to KD for me.
I like that take. I think this is an interesting NBA year because all the top candidates have insane numbers. Like, I don't think we've seen an MVP race that's this close with this many players at such high clips. The amount of players averaging 30 points a game is insane. And the amount of NBA MVP like caliber players... it's nuts. I agree with you on the Jokic thing. I have Jokic as my second pick for MVP. The numbers are ridiculous. The efficiency is always ridiculous. The win shares, the impact on team, the amount of statistics that Nikola Jokic has broken, advanced statistics, just by the way he plays basketball, the assist numbers, everything is nuts. But because of voter fatigue, I can't ever see him getting voted in. Now, instead of Kevin Durant, I do have a different pick, and mine would be Giannis Antetokounmpo. My reasoning is that his numbers are very similar to KD. Obviously, he doesn't have the three-point efficiency, but the assist numbers are there. The points are higher, actually, than Kevin Durant. And the thing is, he brings, although KD is a great defender, and KD would be my third pick for MVP, Giannis has that insane defensive ability where he's always not only a DPOY candidate, but also an MVP candidate. He's leading a team that is currently third in the East, but I see them ending up probably in the one seed, maybe two seed. It's where I had them at least at the start of the year, and I could definitely see them ending up there. So for that reason, I would definitely put Giannis as my number one. But again, I agree with you that Jokic should probably be the MVP.
I think the difference in mine and yours opinions is I don't think the Bucks are going to finish top two, actually. I actually have the Nets finishing second or first, so that's why. The stats are incredibly close between KD and Giannis. But I actually think KD's defense is on par with Giannis this season, even though in the past Giannis was a DPOY and he had much better defense than KD. I think this season in particular, Brook Lopez is carrying the brunt of the defense for the Bucks, so I think it's really close. I love the Nets, and I think they're going to finish with a better record. It's going to be close, but that's why I have him slightly over Giannis.
Yeah, that's fair. And I honestly don't even think you're being biased in that opinion. Like, Kevin Durant is definitely... I'd like to see him win the MVP, and I think there's also an argument to be made that there might be voter fatigue in Giannis. I know he didn't win last year, but he did win the 2 years before. KD hasn't won since the start of the last decade, basically 2013-14. So because of that, there's no voter fatigue around him. He's on a great, fun team that's exciting to watch, and he's just straight up one of the best offensive players the game has ever seen. And now that the defense is there, I could definitely also see him being in the MVP race. I'd be curious to know that what would... if you were to fill out your list, who would be the rest of your like top five MVP candidates?
Third, I think, would be Giannis. And then I have to have Tatum, even though I don't think he's on the same level as the other three guys. They're first in the East. He's top in plus minus this season, so I think he has to be fourth. And then fifth, it gets way too close. Luka, obviously, is having an amazing season, but he's the sixth seed right now. So I don't know if he would get that. And then Zion is also having an amazing season. The Pelicans are second in the West right now. So I think it's between those two guys for the fifth spot.
Yeah, I agree with those takes. I'm definitely not like a Jason Tatum hater or anything. But the numbers aren't there to me. And the fact that all the betting books and the popular favorite is Tatum is really head-scratching to me. I know they're the number one team in the East. I get that. But the efficiency is not there compared to Kevin Durant offensively. The defense isn't there compared to KD or Giannis, hence why I got Giannis. The assist numbers are less than both those two guys. And I know the team is good, but to me, he's not that MVP-level player. I would put Zion. I think Zion is fifth in MVP voting, and I think he gets a lot of traction. He definitely won't win or anything, but he gets a lot of traction if they finish as the one seed, which I think is very possible. you have to put a guy like that in the race. Zion has had such an insane season. Everyone was doubting, hating. Do you re-sign this guy? Do you sign his rookie max? Obviously you do. We see now how insanely good he is in the clutch too. We'll get to later. He had a game recently where he had 14 straight points to close out the game. He's that MVP level guy. So 100% I agree with those takes. But let's move on. Hopefully do a pretty unanimous award. Who are your rookie of the year picks?
I think it's pretty obvious. Paolo Banchero, he looks like a fifth-year player. And then I have Benedict Mathurin. Those are clearly the top two. You can't argue otherwise.
Yeah, I agree. We'll touch on it quickly because I think Paolo's interesting. He's starting and leading a Magic team that is not nearly as awful as everyone. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're not a good team. But they're not nearly as awful as we thought they were going to be. They had a stretch where they went on a nice little six-game win streak. Had people at least talking about them. In that respect, he does look like a really good player. The efficiency numbers aren't even that bad for a rookie, which is always the issue. But let's shout out Benedict Mathurin. It's insane that he's getting traction in the Rookie of the Year race and the Sixth Man of the Year race, helping a Pacers squad that's currently in a playoff spot right now, a high seed playoff spot in the sixth seed. So for sure, I think it's definitely a decently tight race, but right now Paolo is definitely ahead of Mathurin.
Yeah, I agree. I think it maybe would be tighter if Benedict wasn't coming off the bench. But again, I think he maybe comes better off the bench because it gives him more freedom and he doesn't have to play off Tyrese that much. So yeah, those two are absolutely amazing. It's a great rookie class so far.
Agreed for sure. Let's look at an interesting word. Who do you have as your defensive player of the year?
Defensive player of the year is always so hard to decide. Usually I like giving it to a big man because I think the contests and the number of shots that a big man can contest is not comparable to a guard. So yeah, this year I did give it to a big man. He's second in defensive rating, and that's Joel Embiid. He's averaging 1.6 blocks per game, 1.2 steals per game, and he gets a lot of deflections actually as a big man. He's mobile as a big man, and he's anchoring the second best defense in the NBA, so Joel Embiid is my top choice. My second choice is Claxton because, to be honest, I just don't like Brook Lopez. I'm kind of biased here, but whatever. I want to shout out my Nets. Claxton is anchoring a very, very highly climbing defense. Jock Vaughn has the Nets playing this type of switching defense where they switch everything that's an on-ball screen, but they don't switch off-ball screens, and it's really fascinating. It's close to the Rocket system a couple years ago where they were able to guard bigger guys by switching, but they don't switch off-ball screens. And if you watch Claxton, he guards the guards the same level as he guards the centers. Even though he's a little bit skinny, he's built like a stick, to be honest. He's built like a slightly stronger KD, but he kind of sticks with them, and along with Ben Simmons. Like, they do a very good job of containing big guys. So, Claxton, just shout out Claxton. I love him on the Nets, so those are my top two picks for the Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, for sure. I think when we look at Defensive Player of the Year, I agree with you. It's all about that system. Team defense, often teams will have multiple players in that race. We look at KD's defensive improvements, and then obviously Nick Claxton. The team I want to look at, though, is the Bucks. I have Brook Lopez as my favorite, mainly because he's the odds-on favorite, and honestly, Depoy just tends to go to that kind of player. I think Brook Lopez is an awesome defender. The perimeter defense isn't that bad for a center, and the paint defense is absolutely ridiculous. The block numbers are insane. Just watching Brook Lopez, he's the kind of guy that scares you out of driving, scares you out of going to the rack. He's such an impactful piece on that team, and they really, really missed him last year. I know they got him back for that playoff run, but in the regular season, you could tell that he was missing piece. And he certainly wasn't 100% when he came back. He was good, but he wasn't this level of Brook Lopez. He'd be my first pick. For second pick, I want to shout out OG Anunoby because the Raptors are a really, really good defensive team, and he's anchoring it. I don't think he wins necessarily, but I also don't think anyone else other than Brook Lopez wins. The deflection numbers for OG, just the ISO defense and the team defense. He's big enough. He's switchable. He came into the season with the highest weight on the team at like 250 pounds, but he doesn't play that heavy, but he just has the ability to switch on every single position. He can stay with center, so for sure he'd be my other pick.
Yeah, OG I think is the best perimeter defender in the league, maybe next to Jrue Holiday this season. But on Brook Lopez, Claxton is second in blocks, I believe, behind Brook Lopez, and he's much more switchable, so that's why I have Claxton over Brook Lopez. I just want to shout him out again.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's super fair. I did want to quickly touch on the fact that neither of us had Jaren Jackson Jr., who's second in odds-on favorite. I know why I didn't. He hasn't played enough games to me, and the numbers aren't really there. I know the block numbers are insane, But watching him, he seems like a, to me, he's a blocker nothing guy, and I don't like him on the perimeter. He's like a Miles Turner where he's just he plays like sells out for blocks and he doesn't have the games played. I see him getting injured again. I don't think that's smart money, and I don't think it's worth to bet on him for DPOY.
Yeah, I agree. He reminds me of a Hassan Whiteside a couple years ago where he kind of just fishes for blocks. So obviously, I think he's a little bit better than Hassan Whiteside at his peak when it comes to blocks, but I agree. He has a fouling problem still, and he hasn't played enough games, so that's why I don't have him here.
Hassan Whiteside's a really good comp, and the fouling—I forgot. That's the other thing, that the fouling problem is a nightmare. It used to be worse. It's a little better now, but it's still egregious. He's getting himself into trouble. He can't stay in games. That's a team that's gonna have to win close games. They're gonna need him. But moving on, let's look at the sixth man of the year award. Who do you have as your sixth man?
For Sixth Man of the Year, I kind of looked more on impact, not just based off of stats. Based off of stats, I would have said Russ because he's nearly averaging a triple-double, but I don't think he's being impactful enough, and the Lakers suck. So I went with Benedict Mathurin for the Sixth Man of the Year. It'd be amazing if he was the first rookie ever to win Sixth Man of the Year off like his first rookie year. Like, that's crazy. He's averaging the second most points in the Rookie of the Year race. And if you just watch the Pacers, which I have recently because they're actually really entertaining with Tyrese. He's so impactful. When Tyrese goes to the bench and Benedict Mathurin replaces him, they can almost keep up. So Benedict Mathurin is my top choice. And then I have to go with Malcolm Brogdon. The Celtics are the first in the East. He's so efficient from three, something like 47, 46, something ridiculous like that. He's so efficient, like he was in Milwaukee a couple years ago. And he can pass really well. His form is really ugly, but he gets his shots up and he's an impactful player. So those are my top two choices.
I agree with you 100% on Malcolm Brogdon. The numbers aren't there compared to a lot of candidates. Also, really cool. I'll just touch on the fact that neither of us have Jordan Poole in the list, but that's, I think, for the same reason as mine. The numbers aren't there when he comes off the bench. He started half his games. I don't think he should even be a candidate based on that. But looking at Malcolm Brogdon's numbers, they don't jump out at you. The numbers aren't insane, but it's the impact. He's playing exactly like he did last season with the Bucks. I'm so happy he reverted back to that play style given the opportunity. Because last year, Bucks Malcolm Brogdon is one of my favorite players to watch. He's one of the most stupid inefficient or stupid efficient players ever. 50-40-90 guy. I know he's only averaging 13 points a game this year, but the efficiency numbers are ridiculous. He's on a winning team. All of that should be helpful. Give him an extra point or two per game, and 100% he'd be my sixth man of the year pick. Second, I want to shout out Christian Wood. They're starting to give him more minutes. He's still coming off the bench, but he's starting to get more minutes. He's looking really, really good in those minutes. The efficiency numbers are there. I know the defense isn't there, but he's a six man. We're not looking for defense. We're looking for someone to come off the bench and score points and be impactful. And that's 100% what Christian Wood is. The efficiency numbers are absolutely insane. The 3-point shooting for a center is ridiculous. The shots he's taking, he's coming and played that perfect role. Whenever he's on the floor with Luka, the offensive numbers are just insane. So 100%, I think Christian Wood could win the award. If he keeps this up and the team continues and starts even winning more, based that trade looks good. Maybe not great, but at least the trade starts to look good. We start to understand why they made the move, and for sure, I could have him in my sixth man here.
Yeah, I think it's close between Benedict Mathurin in terms of stats and Christian Wood. They're both averaging around 17 points. Christian Wood is more efficient, obviously, but Benedict is a rookie and he's so impactful off the bench. And we expected the Mavericks to be better, to be honest. And Christian Wood's a pylon on defense. That's why, well, JaVale's been a disappointment, so he hasn't played, but that's why, what's his name? Dwight Powell has to play so much. So because he's so useless on defense almost, I think Benedict Mathurin slightly edges him out. Don't get me wrong, he's still an amazing player on offense, but I just, even if it's basically stats for the sixth man of the year, if they're very close, I think it goes to Benedict Mathurin because he's more impactful.
That's fair. I just think the efficiency, I know it's a sixth man of the year award, but the efficiency gap to me is so large in an award that's really about scoring that I would put Mathurin. I also didn't put Russ because the efficiency is so much worse. He should never win any awards shooting these splits. He's not impactful. They're not winning games. He's like the assist numbers look great and all, but the efficiency is egregiously bad, and I just don't see why he would win that award. So for sure, I do agree with you that Mathurin is really close, but I have personally Brogdon and Christian Wood above him. But moving on, we have the MIP award. Who do you have as the MIP?
Give me Bol Bol. I love me some Bol Bol. He's averaging, well, it doesn't really count because last year he barely played, but he went from literally a nobody to a really impactful role player. He's an alien. He's averaging like 12.5 points, something like 7 rebounds, 1.6 blocks. He's amazing on defense. He's switchable. He's actually not that bullyable against big men. If you actually watch the games, he still is because he's skinny, but he's good on defense. He's good on offense. And really what I love the spirit of the Most Improved Player Award is impact and stats. And I think Bol Bol went from literally nobody, creating no impact, being one of the best players on a team full of young players that are better than we expected to be. So my first pick is Bol Bol. And then it has to be Lauri Markkanen. Lauri Markkanen is averaging 9 more points, 3 more rebounds, and he's arguably an all-star this year because Utah was supposed to be god-awful, and they're pretty good, actually, this year, even though they fell off a little bit lately. He's shooting way more efficient. Ever since his Chicago days, people have been waiting for him to improve, and he has. Like, he's been clutch. He's averaged a lot more points. He's been way more efficient. He's been impactful. He's been the best player, in my opinion, on the Jazz. So, yeah, Lauri Markkanen is my second pick.
I definitely agree. I have Lauri Markkanen as my second as well. I think if the award was as how I would run the award, Lauri Markkanen would be my favorite if voters voted the way I think they should. The improvement is ridiculous. Again, this is a guy everyone always was like, this will be his breakout year. This will be his breakout year. This will be his breakout year. And we all keep waiting and waiting. We see the potential, but it hasn't happened. Then everything skyrockets. The year he becomes that all-star player, I think he is an all-star this year, 100%. Potentially, not a starter, but I don't think, I have to check back, but he's definitely an all-star on a team that's in the play-in right now. The numbers are ridiculous. The efficiency is insane. The three-point shooting. I was watching highlights and just watching this guy take step-backs and create space at his height. This guy is an actual true seven-footer, which is nuts what he's doing offensively with that. And yeah, the impact to winning is 100% there. And in terms of improvement, there really isn't a good comparison. There's no one really that close if the award was as I think it should run, but it's not. So he's my second pick, and my first pick would be SGA, and I'm the biggest SGA fan. The number increases are definitely significant. The efficiency increase is there, not nearly to a few seasons ago when he was insanely efficient. If he hadn't got injured, he should have been an all-star that year. He'll 100% be an all-star this year. I wish he could be a starter, but it's gonna be Curry and Doncic. But he's so close to that. The improvements, just his scoring level is not nearly even close to what he was before. The improvements are insane. He's taking shots from everywhere. He's picking his three-point shots carefully, but he is knocking them down when he takes them. And I guess what the key is that he's been very careful about his shot selection. He's finding all his spots in the mid-range. The paint scoring is ridiculous. So I would give SGA the award based on odds-on favorites, and well, I think we'll actually get the award, but I 100% agree with you, Lauri Markkanen.
I think the thing with Shea is people have underrated him for years. He's obviously much improved in terms of stats and maybe IQ this year. But if you look at his talent level in previous years, because the Thunder didn't really let him play that much, he's been this amazing for a really long time. So I think because he's already been really good, it's hard for him to win it, even though he's improved vastly in terms of stats and he's absolutely ridiculous this season. So that's why I think two nobodies, Bol Bol and Markkanen, should be over someone that has already been really good and arguably should have been an all-star if he was not injured.
Yeah, 100%. I'm, again, a huge SGA fan. Going into the season, I spent a bunch of money on SGA cards. It's looking really good for me. I am the biggest SGA fan. I'm so happy that he's getting the recognition he deserves. This guy's only 24, which is insane. So good. Also, Canadian. Shout out that. But I do see where you're coming from with the Bol Bol pick in terms of, again, MIP. But for what it's worth, there's a reason it's improvement for sure, and it is something like his third or fourth year in the NBA. There's something about the way the award works that I just don't see Bol Bol winning it. It's just, again, the opportunity difference is insane compared to, he didn't have any opportunities in his past seasons. Now he's getting so much run. I don't know if it's fair to consider him for such an award. This is basically, if we think about it, his like true first real season. It's not like a rookie year, but it's kind of like Devonte Graham a few years ago when everyone wanted him to be the MIP. He went from like 4 points to 18, but it was just, again, it was more opportunity, but he wasn't terribly efficient, and all the number increases were way bigger than other guys, but it wasn't necessarily that skill increase because they hadn't been given a chance to shine and show off that skill. That's why I just wouldn't have Bol Bol winning it, but I definitely see where you're coming from, and obviously the improvement is there. We can see it. It's tangible 100%.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. But I think Bol Bol, even if you watched him play, he just looks like a more comfortable, more of a veteran player. So I still think he's in contention.
For sure. Let's move on to the next award, which is the Coach of the Year award. Who do you have for that?
My man, Jacques Vaughn. Jacques Vaughn, man. He came into the Brooklyn Nets, turned their season around. Steve Nash, I'm like, respect to him as a player. He sucked as a coach. And I've been saying that for like the entire tenure he's been there. He doesn't know what he's doing. He can't call timeouts. He draws no offensive systems. All he does is wait for Kyrie and KD to ISO. Jacques Vaughn created an entirely new offensive and defensive system. It's similar to the Celtics last season turnaround. They've won 11 in a row, had the best record in the past two months, their second seed in the East, and they were like 11th like 2 months ago. Their defense spiked like, I think it was like 14 rankings. Offense spiked like 15 rankings. It's ridiculous. The way that they're using Ben Simmons in offense and they're using KD and Kyrie in the half court and putting Ben and Claxton in a dunker spot is absolutely so impressive. A lot of the teams and a lot of coaches would not be able to put Ben and Claxton together because they both brick from outside. But he's using them so well. Their plus minus is actually crazy. I think over the past, I think it's 10 games, Ben Simmons actually has the highest plus minus. So he's using him really well. Jacques Vaughn is my first pick. He's been absolutely amazing. My second pick has to be Willie Green of the New Orleans Pelicans. They're the second seed in the West. He incorporates pieces so well, and I love how, like, I've been begging the Pelicans to use Zion as point Zion. And when he has the ball, he just straight line drives, and he can play make as well. And I love him as point Zion. And he knows exactly how to utilize all these talented pieces. Like, the lineup of Larry Nance Jr. and Zion, especially, that lineup that he utilizes is completely unstoppable. Their defense and their offense is crazy. So, yeah, Willie Green is my second pick.
Willie Green is 100% my first pick. I know I'm a Pelicans fan, but he's turned this team into a contender. Not just a contender, a true, real contender. Not a team that's floating around 4 or 5 seed. They've been the one seed. They are currently the 3 seed, just a game back at the first seed. I 100% see them ending in a top 3 seed, which means they actually have a chance to contend. And it's honestly because of Willie Green. When you look at the team last year, Willie Green came in, and when they finally started to get healthy, he brought that team together. And it took time because coaching is not something that necessarily always comes in instantly and fixes all the problems. But by the end of last season, you could see what he was doing. You could see what he was implementing. And now the way he's using point, I love point Zion. Point Zion is incredible. I like point CJ as well. Don't get me wrong. I think the way he's using CJ is really, really good. I've often had lots of arguments with people and conversations about who should be taking the shots on this team, where the volume should be coming from. And as they've been winning, it's often come from Zion. And when B.I. comes back, I hope he can manage that. Let's not forget, B.I. has been injured for the last 20 games-ish, 15 games, and they've still been rolling. So 100% I have Willie Green there. The systems offensively are incredible. The defense has been good enough to compete, even though there's not a lot of pieces. I mean, there is pieces. There's Herb Jones, Jose Alvarado, but he's made everything work. He's made players look really, really good. He's been able to utilize everyone's strengths. Trey Murphy looks absolutely incredible this season. So many good pieces on this team. I can talk with the Pels for hours. But 100%, I agree with Willie Green. I will also throw Jack Vaughn in number two just because the turnaround has been incredible. 100%. Steve Nash was the problem. I was used to be on the fence on whether Steve Nash was the problem or not. I just wasn't sure if they weren't joining together properly as a team or if it was actually the coaching's fault, because when you have enough good players like that, you almost have to blame it on the players. But really, it did end up being the coaching's fault. I am floored that they found a way to use Claxton and Ben Simmons at the same time. It looks really, really good. Yeah, the defensive systems are incredible. The offense flows, and team with lots of ball dominant guys, getting that offense to flow is just beautiful. I remember watching a game where Ben Simmons came on for his first shift, didn't attempt a shot, 6 assists in that first shift. They absolutely blew out, I think it was the Warriors, by something like 40 in the first half. And just watching the offense flow, everyone finding the hot hand, playing players the proper amount of minutes, it was just incredible. So I think there's a reason we have the same coach of the year, because they're the two candidates that make sense.
Yeah, I think it's arguable between the two. I just love the Nets more, and they have a slightly better record, so I just switched the two.
Exactly. I think it's really funny we were able to put both our favorite teams in this coach of the year, and I think it's valid 100%. Lastly, we have the newest award, the Clutch Award. Give it to the most clutch player in the NBA. Who do you have for that?
Give me my man Kyrie Irving. I love Kyrie Irving. Every time, like, the Nets have won a bunch of games, but honestly, when we get a big lead, we blow it sometimes in the third, but then Kyrie just comes in without KD, and he just blows out of the water. He averages the most points per game in the fourth quarter. That shot against the Raptors was absolutely glorious. If you saw the last game against the Hornets, he really secured the win for the Nets as well. And he's just unstoppable in the fourth. That's why ever since he was in Cleveland, he's called Mr. Fourth Quarter. So give me Kyrie. And second, I really put Tyler Hero. Shout out to him. He hit a really, really, really hard game winner last night on one leg. And he's been pretty clutch for the Heat this season. He's hit like 3 game winners already this season. And he's quietly been one of the best players on the Heat because the Heat have been a disappointment. So yeah, those are my two picks for the Jerry West Clutch Award.
We could argue about the fact that it's the Jerry West Clutch Award. I think it's ridiculous. But yeah, for my picks, I went different direction. I think this is an award where you could ask 10 different people and get 10 different answers 100%. I'm going SGA. The game winners that SGA hits, knocks down, is absolutely ridiculous. And just the amount of volume that he attempts in the fourth, it's all him. When if it's anyone else, not going down. It's him. Everyone knows it's him. He's getting doubled. He's getting pressured. They're pressuring him full court, so he can never get the ball in the first place, and yet he's still finding a way to score, still finding a way to win his team games that they shouldn't be winning in the first place. I know maybe you could argue if this award gets dependent on record, I could see why you'd go away from him, but to me, he's the Clutch Award Player of the Year. As I alluded to earlier, I'm going to go Zion with my second pick. I watch a lot of Pelicans games, and I watch just about every fourth quarter of every Pelicans game. Call me a little biased. Zion Williamson has looked stupid good when they've just let him operate. I alluded to that game a bit ago where he had 14 straight in the fourth. That was insane. He knocked down a three. He was creating his own offense. Everything was just beautiful watching it flow. So to me, Zion's the pick. I do agree. Kyrie's great. He's hit game winners. The one against the Raptors this year was heartbreaking to watch. But it was absolutely just beautiful. Tyler Hero, I'm going to call recency bias on that. I know he is a good clutch player, but to me, it's a little bit of recency bias. That shot was great, don't get me wrong. But that was also yesterday. But I mean, it's not a bad pick. He is a very clutch player. But to me, it's got to be the star guy that's going to win this award. So I don't mind the Kyrie pick, but I'm going SGA Zion.
That's fair. Kyrie, just my favorite player, and he's been great in the fourth. So maybe I'm a little bit biased as well. But this award's pretty subjective.
100%. Lastly, let's look at the NBA first team. I'm assuming most of the picks will be very similar, but who do you have as your first team, keeping positions and everything in mind?
The two guards, I have Luka and Steph. I don't think you can have anyone else. Luka is a lock. Steph Curry, depending on how many games he plays for the rest of the season, he might not make it. I think he still will. He's only played 8 less games than Luka, and he's basically playing his unanimous MVP stats. And he's playing even better than that. He's been amazing. The forwards, KD and Giannis. I thought about Tatum here, but he's not on the same level as these two players on defense or on offense. The efficiency of KD and the two-way impact of Giannis, not close to Tatum. And then the center, I have Jokic, because Jokic, even though Embiid's been amazing, shout out to Embiid, I almost put him in a different position on the forwards because he was so good this season. He's second in scoring or first in scoring, something like that. But Jokic, I think, is light years ahead of him in terms of impact. So those are my five.
Embiid has been insane. I have the same five as you. Curry, Doncic. I think Doncic's got to be there. I'm a big believer in games played for awards like this. I think you have to play a large bulk and volume of your season. I don't know if Curry's going to hit it, but he'll get voted in either way. I really just wanted SGA to get this. I want SGA to be first team. I want him to be an all-star starter. And he won't be either because it's going to be Curry, Doncic for both, which is really, really frustrating. I'm the same as you. I got Giannis, KD, Jokic. I don't really believe in Tatum being here instead of either of these players, as we discussed earlier, so hence the same rankings. I think if you're not on the first team, you're going to be very happy being an NBA second team player. That whole second team is going to be very, very good, even because that first and second team are going to be so, so, so good. We have so many players. We have just gaudy stats. That third team is also going to be really good. So 100% just making an NBA first or an NBA all-NBA team this year is going to be difficult, but that first team especially is just truly insane.
Yeah, just another shout out though, if you want Shea to make it. I just want to shout out Donovan Mitchell. He's having his most efficient season this year, 48-41, I think it is. The Cavs have been amazing this season. He's one of the most impactful guards in the game. So I think if Steph doesn't make it based off games played, you have to consider D-Mitch.
Dimash 100%. I mean, if we go with that second team and you go Dimash SGA, no one's complaining about that second team. That's a really, really, really good second team. In the NBA, 100%. You can even look at the forward group again. You're going to throw Embiid on there. You're going to throw Tatum. I'm trying to think who the last guy is. But again, when we talk about that second team, it's going to be really, really, really good. And 100%. I think we're in agreement on the first team, but there's so many guys that are really, really close for sure.
On the second team for the forwards, I would say Zion's in contention because he's fifth in MVP voting. So I think I'd go Zion there.
Yeah, Zion, 100%. I don't know how I didn't think about it. Yes, Zion's the last pick for second team, which is nuts.
Yeah,
it's just insane, honestly. Really, really good. But I think that's it for all the awards. Looking at NBA first team. We've definitely had a lot of the same opinions. There's a lot of, obviously, front runners for these awards. But some of these are up in the air. Sixth Man of the Year, MIP, MVP. This is one of the years where you just don't know at all about MVP. It's going to come down to the wire. So I think it's a really good year for NBA awards.
Yeah, this season's been beautiful to watch. One of the best offensive seasons ever, if not the best offensive season. So everyone's been amazing. It's a joy to watch all these guys.
It probably is the best offensive season. It's absolutely insane. But that'll do it for us at Dishing Heat. Hope you have a happy new year. See you next time.
Yep, and don't forget to check out our Instagram at Dishing_Heat. You can hear us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or even Google Podcasts. Check out our Linktree, and we're out.